not shaken, Mega Maniacs. It's Monday, August 11th, the final stop on the road to SummerSlam, and we are gathering for the Monday night tradition, as we always do, on MegaPowersRadio.com for our Raw post-show. As I said, it was the final Raw before we go into SummerSlam this Sunday in Los Angeles. Did they make us excited for the show, or did they decide to instead spend the night celebrating Hulk Hogan's birthday? We'll dig into that deeper, but first, let me introduce everyone who is on our panel tonight. I will be lead hosting things tonight. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. With me tonight, the president of SparkOutMoment.com, Mr. Tony Mango.
I am the prez. Vote for me.
And the leader of the Drew Crew, Mr. Drew White.
And as the show kicks off, I want everyone to know, I am a mercenary, quote-unquote, Brock Lesnar. Hi.
Okay. And of course, I should introduce all of you out there because this is the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We will have the phone lines opening up at approximately 11:30. We got the chat room already cooking up. We got Five Times Combo in there. Awesome Piano Man making a rare appearance. Welcome to the show, dude. Always good to have you around. And everyone else, of course, too. Ferris 419, Smash Radio, and our very own Steven Huego holding things down as a representation of the panel. He's still on vacation over in England. Hope he's having a blast. Sounds like he is. Can't be with us tonight, unfortunately, but if you're in the chat room, you could talk with him there. All right, guys, let's start things how I always like to, by asking you, what was the number one thing you took away from tonight's show? Drew, why don't you start us off? What was the number one thing you took off tonight's Raw?
Ooh, that's a tough one. The one thing I took off of this tonight's episode of Raw was that Heath Slater is the 2-2-0. I think that's about it.
Tony, what's the number one thing you took away from it?
It is very easy to get distracted in WWE.
What do you mean by that?
Wasn't there like 3 matches tonight that ended with somebody losing because somebody distracted them?
Yeah, I mean, that's the norm.
Yeah, and that annoys the crap out of me. I hate how that happens all the time. Because, you know, if you were a champion or you were going to be facing a champion or just wrestling a normal match, you shouldn't just be looking at the other person outside of the ring. If they come and interfere, you win by DQ. And that's just something that bothers me. So seeing that a lot tonight, ugh.
Well, our big story that we had throughout the night was, of course, promoting SummerSlam and our main event for SummerSlam, Brock Lesnar versus John Cena. We started the show with Brock Lesnar coming out along with Paul Heyman. Brock Lesnar had a modified version of his Eat, Sleep, Conquer, Repeat shirt, this time with it saying Conquer John Cena on it, fittingly in red and yellow colors. I'm sure that was a little homage to it being Hulk Hogan's birthday. We get this awesome montage of WrestleMania featuring Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker and, of course, all the fans' reaction to it, including a pop for the Broken Street Guy, which I thought was absolutely tremendous. Later on the night, we get John Cena coming out for one of his typical John Cena shtick promos. He talks about how the crowd do all the chants that they do, and the crowd plays into it like a bunch of suckers. Like, what a waste of goddamn time that was. But my favorite segment that we had all throughout the night involving this, surprisingly, was our closing one where we were celebrating Hulk Hogan's birthday, which at first seemed like it was just going to be an absolute bore fest. I mean, Drew, is our youngest member here, was completely confused as to who all these old guys were on the screen while we were wasting all this time. Yeah, that's what you said.
No, I didn't fucking say that. I didn't understand why they were treating this as if he just died, because they did the same exact type of like tribute when the fucking Ultimate Warrior died. So I was like, whoa, this is sketchy. Is he going to die tomorrow? We're never going to know. Just saying, too soon. I'm sorry.
Well, throughout all that, we'll talk more in depth about the Hogan celebration a little bit later, but specifically, it eventually got interrupted by Brock Lesnar getting in everybody's face, telling Hulk Hogan that the party's over, Grandpa. He gets interrupted by John Cena, who comes in, they have a little bit of a face-to-face, and of course, the heel has to back down, walk out of the ring, and that's our closing picture going into SummerSlam. No touching between John Cena and Brock Lesnar. That's an old-school booking idea from Paul Heyman. Never have the guys touch until the pay-per-view event. I'm fine with that. I don't need to see these guys necessarily cross paths, but as far as locking horns in any sort of way. But let me get your guys' opinions about our buildup that we had throughout this night. Is it getting you excited for that main event? And did they do the best job they could with it being the final stop onto that event? Tony, what'd you think?
This might not be exactly the same opinion that other people's have, and I'm pretty sure that part of it's going to be unpopular. I'm going to say the three aspects were good, terrible, and fantastic tonight. The terrible being Paul Heyman's promo. I didn't like that whatsoever. I love Paul Heyman. I love him on the mic. I obviously don't like Brock Lesnar on the mic, so anytime that he's not talking, that's great, unless he does that weird-ass fucking scream that he does, which that's hilarious. But his promos have gotten repetitive enough to the point where Paul Heyman doesn't have that it factor with me anymore. He needs to do something a little bit different. And I know that they're beating down the streak thing and that they have a rhythm that they like to do for pretty much everybody, but spicing it up is not a bad thing. And when you can't do anything else other than cut promos to build up to a pay-per-view, you need to spice those pay-per-view promos up. Because if you have somebody else other than a Brock Lesnar, you can have matches and you can have backstage fights or something like that. So where if you cut the same promo a couple of different times, it's not as repetitive. But just having Heyman say the same thing 4 weeks in a row, that didn't work for WrestleMania in the build-up for The Undertaker. It's not working for the build-up for SummerSlam. And whatever happens for Night of Champions, if Lesnar is involved in that, if they do the same exact thing, it's not going to work for that either. However, I think this is something that people are going to disagree with me on, just because people tend to. I loved John Cena's promo tonight. I thought that was one of the best promos he's cut in a really long time. I actually got behind it enough that I was happy that fans were chanting for Cena at the end of it. The Hogan stuff, that was okay. The reason it wasn't great is because he didn't beat the shit out of all those people. And the reason it wasn't terrible was because he still came out and made me think that that was going to happen. So they could have made this a lot better. They could have made it a lot worse. I'm more excited going into it now than I was last week. So they still ended up getting a thumbs up for me.
Drew, did this affect you in the same way, or do you have a differing opinion about it?
About all three segments. Let me think. I guess the last segment was okay. It was pretty good, I suppose. John Cena was John Cena. He said some words that made this sound like a PG-14 era. I don't know. We had a Punk reference at one point, and then Paul Heyman was Paul Heyman and dropped some Thugonomics stuff. So from what I could tell, it was good.
What was the line John Cena used? He said he accused Brock Lesnar of having punk bitchitis.
Yes. Yes.
Which means CM Punk return is confirmed, guys. You know what's happening.
Yes. Yeah, so I bet Wago, as soon as he heard that, was like, fucking going to go pick him up for my fantasy team. But in all seriousness, I'm not 100% sold on this match going forward, because this should be huge. Honestly, because Brock Lesnar is fighting for the WWE Championship. And this is bigger than the streak, honestly, because this is the championship now. Brock Lesnar is bigger than the streak. And the one thing he hasn't done since he came back was win the championship. And I feel like the WWE did a terrible job of, like, trying to sell this to other things, because all they've done to promote this thing was that it was on the WWE Network and that it was $9.99 a month instead of, like, $50 for the pay-per-view, which you shouldn't do. These two should be going all over the place, kind of like an actual MMA fight. I think they should have went that style of approach. These guys are constantly on talk shows, you know, have, like, a press conference thing. You know, they shouldn't go face-to-face or, like, get into, like, a tussle unless it's, like, behind the scenes or something like that. They should have, like, kept everything, like, fake, but they should have tried to make it look like it was realistic that these two actually hate each other. Especially that, they're not going to show up for 2 weeks, but this last night, they're going to say their final words. I think that's stupid. They should have went with the WrestleMania approach to this, and they should have tried to make this a bigger deal than what they tried to make it. So I'm kind of excited because it is Cena versus Lesnar, but I don't really care. Moo.
Oh, gosh. We are going to be opening up the phone lines in just a moment. If you want to get yourself in line, dial in area code 760-512-7247. And, of course, we got the chat room open and rolling very nicely. I can't find a good quote to put out there. We do have Awesome Piano Man calling Drew Moo White. I think that's pretty funny. And we're going to bring on our first caller. Our first caller, as always, from the 412 area code, Mr. JD. How you doing, JD?
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Oh, we're always in an excellent mood to be here. And we're kind of indifferent about this Raw. What did you think about it, though?
Yeah, it was a very lousy Raw. I don't think it was a great go-home show for SummerSlam tonight. It really wasn't. I mean, the crowd was hot, however, and of course, they did some things that were the same old bullshit. Of course, Stephanie trying to arrest Nikki because of that fake, phony doctor bullshit thing. Mm-hmm. Randy Orton, of course, taking on Sheamus, which was a pretty good match. Roman Reigns winning an easy-peasy match against the stupid idiots right back. So then you have Hulk Hogan have his celebration, which was pretty good. And then, of course, who shows up but Mr. Steroid himself, however, with Paul Heyman, to ruin the celebration, and that's Mr. Lesnar. But I'll tell you, I mean, some of these guys, I mean, showing up in the ring tonight, I mean, you had Jimmy Hart there, you had Mean Gene, you had Wyatt Earp, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff with that handlebar mustache. I mean, at first I couldn't believe that was him. And there was talk originally, however, that they were going to have the Iron Sheik there, but because of his health issues, apparently, however, that wasn't the case. And it comes also, I mean, it's a good day for Hogan, but it's also a very sad day in the world of entertainment, losing a great comedian actor like Robin Williams today. And it's just still shocking, I think, to a lot of people. But, no, I think tonight, however, like the guy said, however, earlier, I mean, they could have done so much more for the hype of SummerSlam the last couple weeks. I mean, you could have had Cena on last week or Brock on in Austin. I mean, I just think they ran with this too quickly, if you ask me. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see what the Reigns come out with later on in the next couple of days. But I'll tell you what, though. It looks like at this point, however, it's just no surprise whatsoever. Mr. Steroid, in his contract, has to win on Sunday, of course, because he has that in his contract. And you know he's going to win because, obviously, John Cena's saying, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. Well, guess what? Brock's just going to absolutely destroy him tonight. No, and Cena does bring up some points, and I've said over the last few weeks and for some time now, he does bring up some points of time about Brock. Brock's all about himself, and we've said this before. So if Brock wants to become a champion like he says he wants to be, you better start doing a full-time thing now instead of this part-time bullshit, if you ask me. So, I mean, all in all, I mean, I'm going to miss SummerSlam, but I will catch the results online. And, of course, I will call you guys next week while I'm away on vacation, however, as I leave this Friday for the beach, however, with my family. But it should be a very interesting Sunday night, if you ask me, in Los Angeles, in more ways than one.
You think that there's absolutely zero chance that John Cena could win that match?
No, I don't. I really don't. I mean, unless they go with a hokey schmoz, however, and then do it in some type of gimmick matchup, setting up for Night of the Champions, and then the feud continues in for two more pay-per-views, and to Hell in a Cell, and into Survivor Series. No, I think right now, however, they are trying to get the belt off of Cena. Cena's still off. Apparently, he's making two movies in the next year or so, however. Mm. They really getting behind Brock, however, more and more, even though he doesn't do a part-time thing. And like I said before, however, if he wants to become a champion, he better start kicking in the full-time gear, because right now, however, that's what a champion's supposed to do. Not this easy-peasy where you go home for 3 months, be with your little wife and kids, and then come back with a little bitch boy like Paul Heyman, however, and come back and say, oh, I should be deserved of a contract. I should be given a championship title shot. Well, guess what? If you're going to prove you're going to be a champion, prove it this Sunday, plain and simple.
What about the developments between Stephanie and Brie? I mean, where is that leaving? You think that match is going to have anything left to be excited about, or do you think this has been all downhill and tonight was just the absolute train crash of it?
I think tonight was the real train crash of it. I mean, it really was. I'm not excited about this. I've said for weeks on end, it's time to get the damn Authority off of television. I hope it doesn't end in a blow-off where you have Nikki attack Brie and cost her and basically go with the Authority. I think that would just absolutely be a nightmare in itself. The Diva match that should be pretty good, and I think it has been getting pretty good, however, with the Divas, is AJ and Paige. I think that could be better than Stephanie and Brie, if you ask me, on Sunday.
As long as that doesn't get put into that dead spot right before the main event, I think if they gave those girls enough time,
if they want to put a dead spot in, I think that's when you got to put Stephanie and Brie. That's the spot they should go in.
Yeah, or some other comedy match like that. I mean, throw in a Heath Slater match. Throw in another match for Heath Slater to win on pay-per-view. That'd be huge.
Yeah, against Sandow, who wasn't on TV tonight, however, when they could have had him come out as a freaking trailblazer or a freaking Oregon Duck or an Oregon State Beaver, since they were in Oregon, after all. But they're in Seattle tomorrow night. Who knows if he's going to be on main event, however, or possibly SmackDown this week, you know?
Absolutely. So, JD, your high point and your low point for tonight's show.
Roman Reigns, again, the high point, continues to shine. I mean, he's getting better and better as the weeks go along. We've seen it. Low point tonight, however, I would have to say maybe it was probably the whole affair with possibly maybe Stephanie and Brie, if you ask me. But in all honesty, I think that was the low point. But the AJ Ava Marie thing was really bad. I mean, they only went 1 minute with this match, and they had to have Paige come out skipping around like saying, oh, I love you, AJ. I love you, AJ. I'm so happy. And that stupid poem by Paige was just absolutely horrendously bad. Really bad.
The Divas, we're seeing a better performance of them in-ring, but the writers are still obviously not taking them very seriously.
Obviously not. But the thing is, though, before we go on real quick, and I'm going to make real quick, there is talk how they are bringing up a couple new Divas pretty soon, like Bayley and Charlotte. Have you guys heard about that?
I've heard those mumblings. I would be very happy with that. I love both of those girls down there. I love Bayley and her wacky waving arm feeling inflatable.
Yeah, so do I. I saw her in New Orleans. She's pretty cool. I think Charlotte has great potential. I mean, the thing that just pisses me off, though, I mean, they could have, I mean, on one of the matches, like, when was it? A couple weeks ago, Natty had that tag match with Emma, if you remember. Mm-hmm. They could have said something about Natty having a great match with Charlotte down in NXT and showed some highlights, and instead they piss on it, you know?
They do this thing where they completely keep those worlds separate. I mean, there's points where you'll have certain wrestlers as a babyface on WWE TV and a heel on NXT TV or vice versa. So I don't know why they're afraid to admit that that's going on down there. It should be talked about. It should be said, well, this happened this week in NXT and you should be watching it. I mean, with all the do to plug main event, I don't know why they don't plug NXT more in that fashion.
Exactly, I agree. And then again, you kept hearing tonight, all night. I mean, it wasn't as bad as last week, but again, there are times tonight you kept hearing $9.99, $9.99, enough of the $9.99 bullshit.
Well, even the crowd was chanting along with it tonight, so it made it a little
God,
bit fun.
I know. Especially when me and Jane and Jimmy Hart were doing that thing, though. But now, as I said, guys, I'll be on vacation next week. I'll try to get in with you guys. I'll definitely get in with you guys next week. And like I said last week, hopefully maybe we can start doing this maybe right around Labor Day or after Labor Day, possibly around the first night of Monday Night Football. So maybe we can start doing this once in a while. Maybe I can take a question from somebody, one of you guys, or if anyone has a question for me, I'd be glad to answer them for him.
I think that's a great idea. I think the chat room would absolutely love that. JD, I'm extremely jealous that you get to go on vacation this weekend. I hope you have an absolute blast.
Thanks, I will. You guys enjoy SummerSlam Sunday night. I'll definitely talk to you guys next Monday when Raw should be very interesting in Sin City, USA, because it's going to be a wild night in Vegas. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring back Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. They could do that next Monday. You never know. We'll play and see.
All right. Have fun at the biggest party on the beach, JD.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next Monday night.
All right, another fun call here on the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com. If you want to get in and get your voice heard on the post show, dial in area code 760-512-7247 or press the little Skype icon at the top of the page. Of course, the chat room is rolling nicely as well. Five Times Combo, Awesome Piano Man, Creepers Under Radars, Ferris 419, Smash Radio, and I've seen some other names popping in and out, and a number of guests. If you're just sitting there listening to us, why don't you get yourself registered with Blog Talk Radio, scroll on down, find that chat room. You can have two conversations going on at once while you're listening to us and chatting with whoever's in there. Always lots of fun. So let's bring it back to the panelists here, talking about things that went down on the show. We had a matchup between Roman Reigns and Ryback's old handicap match. Nothing too special went on in here. Roman Reigns actually spent majority of it dominating it. What I found actually was pretty interesting is how much the crowd was getting behind Ryback in this match, especially with the moments where Ryback and Roman Reigns are facing each other. This crowd was getting super into it. Ryback was feeding a lot of energy into them, showing that there's still some life in this Ryback character. The match ends with a DQ on the outside. I can't even tell if it was a DQ or a countout, who it actually affected. But in the end, Roman Reigns outbattles both of them, hits them both with a Superman punch and a spear for each one, and he ends standing tall. Oh yeah, and before this match, we got to see the return of Corporate Kane. Demon Kane is gone because he took the mask, so he's officially back to Corporate Kane. Got a legal first name change, I guess. But what do you guys think about our opening match for this evening? We have had a tradition going on the last number of weeks where the first match of the show was the best match of the night. Did that continue, Tony?
No, not this week. I wasn't impressed with any of the matches tonight for the most part, and they're all sort of in that same vein of like, well, it was okay, it wasn't great, it wasn't terrible, blah, blah, blah kind of a thing. But There was one match that I think was definitely better than this one. So it didn't keep the trend going. It was okay. It was fine. I mean, it did its job, and it was a decent way to put Roman Reigns over without burying the fuck out of the other two. So I'm fine with it, but, you know, you start off an episode of Raw with a rather blah kind of a promo and a match that's not really fantastic, and it starts killing my mood immediately. So they should have done better than this.
Awesome Piano Man coming up with Identity Crisis Kane. That's exactly what he is. After the match, Roman Reigns cut this awkward promo, which was really weird, but JBL said a line I liked, and that was referring to Roman Reigns' dominance as the Roman Empire. That's pretty cool. I think you can market that one there. Drew, what did you think of everything that went down with Roman Reigns going against Ryback tonight?
That was okay. It was an okay match. One thing I want to know is that the big guy, when he enters the ring, he likes to yell, "The big guy." And everyone on the panel will yell, "The big guy" as well. So that's all I really took away from this.
Awesome Piano Man says, "Soon, the Roman Catholic Church."
Was it during this match that I think it was JBL had mentioned that somebody else had said, "When it rains, it falls"?
Yes.
At one point, Michael Cole said that Roman Reigns was the former Intercontinental Champion, but we all know he isn't.
He said that? What an idiot.
Yeah, he said then JBL had to correct him or something. Whoops. Like that. Whoops. That's embarrassing.
We had another matchup between Seth Rollins and Rob Van Dam. I think this is like the second or third we've seen these guys face each other. But this was to make up for when they didn't face each other in the Beat the Clock challenge last week. Actually had a decent little matchup, went across a couple segments. Rollins ends up getting the victory with the curb stomp. He walks up to the stage and he gets suspect of one of these giant gifts that were on the stage that was wrapped up in red and yellow wrapping paper for Hulk Hogan's birthday celebration. He begins walking away from it after he's convinced that there's nothing there. But just as he's backing away, Dean Ambrose just plows through the box and starts attacking Seth. He chases Seth all the way out through the crowd, grabs a mic and starts cutting a promo. And of course, even he has to mention the $9.99, but he actually has a pretty clever line where he says, "For just $9.99, I'm going to get my money's worth on Sunday." That's pretty sweet. Give it to Dean Ambrose, really stepping up his game with those promos and having these really awesome, energetic segments. This was fun. It wasn't spectacular. I'm still not as into this feud as I should expect myself to be, but whatever. I'm digging the stalking thing. What about you guys? Drew, you liking what went down?
I like the match. I thought the match went too short. I was really enjoying it, and then it just kind of ended. I was like, oh, no attempt at the 5-star frog splash? That's something. But yeah, it was good for what it was. You know, it's getting to the point where whenever I see some boxes on the stage, that you should always check the boxes just in case there's someone inside it, because you never know if the boogeyman's going to be inside it. Drew White out.
Awesome Piano Man asking a question in the chat room. He says, "Did you guys talk about him choosing a lumberjack match? Who picks a lumberjack match?" And I was thinking this exact same thing. I briefly brought it up for a little bit on the live edition of Smack Talk that we had this Saturday on Mega Powers Radio. But I absolutely agree. If you get to pick your match stipulation, who the hell picks a lumberjack match?
Dean Ambrose, apparently. I mean, duh. Why wouldn't you? I mean, it's stupid, pointless. Why not lumberjill match at this point? I think that would have been more entertaining than the lumberjack match.
Yeah, I mean, if you got your choice, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Lumberjack, you'd think they would have actually made a stipulation that makes sense. It's getting to the point where I think this is just going to end in a no contest, because it's just going to end in a big fight. I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Tony, what were you going to say?
Clearly the best option for a guy who considers himself a loner is to pick a stipulation where you're surrounded by a bunch of people.
These are facts.
So Tony, what did you think about this? Has this gotten you more excited for their matchup at SummerSlam, or is this like a lot of these other ones falling flat at the moment?
It hasn't, but that's not to say that it has made it worse. I was excited about it before, so I'm excited about it now. It just hasn't done anything to make me more excited. I think these two are actually going to have maybe the best match of the night. It sort of depends. Maybe Ziggler and Miz will. Maybe the Usos will be able to pull something out of their ass or something. I don't know. But What I'm really curious about, though, is in a kayfabe kind of sense, how did Dean Ambrose get in that box? Somebody had to wrap that box with him inside of it. So he had to just sit there and have like a buddy of his, maybe Roman Reigns or whatever, sitting there backstage wrapping the box. And then when it comes down to the time where they put that all on the stage, somebody's just like, hey, by the way, we're going to be moving you now. So can you kind of like walk along with the box? That's very awkward. You're not supposed to think about that, obviously, but that's the kind of stupid shit that I think of instead of like being surprised that that's going to happen. And on top of that too, throwing out suspension of disbelief. If nobody knew, nobody else had known that that was supposed to be Dan Ambrose and whatever, what the fuck did they think that present was?
Well, see, I think it was all a misconception that Seth Rollins was even like scared of the box. I think Seth Rollins was like going by, is like, man, this box looks like it could be an awesome new house.
Yeah.
It's got a great paint job on it.
He's like, this is bigger than mine. This is a fucking mansion here. I should cash in money in the bank and spend it on this thing. Oh, it's got wrapping paper and everything. Fuck.
Nice little bow on it. Oh, shit. It's Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose ruined it. And he ruined that damn box.
Oh, man. Crap. Dean Ambrose is a squatter in my box.
And Brock Lesnar's in the ring talking about how that's his house. Seth Rollins goes to the stage. Yeah, this is my house. Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, it gets pretty ugly really fast after that segment. We have Stephanie McMahon out, who introduces another young lady by the name of Megan Miller, who is Daniel Bryan's physical therapist. After this long little back and forth of who she is and what she does in her job, she starts breaking down and eventually admits that she had an affair with Daniel Bryan. Oh, no, she didn't. Jerry. This causes Brie Bella to run out. She, of course, gets angry, slaps Megan right in the face, and then starts beating down Stephanie McMahon into a yes lock. Now, the moment this happened, I saw where this was going, but later on in the night, Stephanie and Brie say that they're going to have their match this evening instead of at SummerSlam. Brie comes out first, but Stephanie comes out still dressed in her business pantsuit. Or was she wearing a skirt? I don't know. I'm assuming she wears a pantsuit because she's that type of woman. Shit, was that feministly wrong to say? Whoops. Anyway, Stephanie ends up telling Brie that she is going to be arrested because Megan Miller is going to be pressing charges based on her slapping her. Kind of a neat little, you know, karma coming back at Brie for everything that happened. But I don't know. This was really rushed. It feels like you've seen it before, what you have, so it didn't have the same zing. I guess it's fine. I'm not as offended by that part of it, but the first part of it with Megan Miller just screamed of Claire Lynch so much to the point where Claire Lynch was actually trending on Twitter. Yeah, who would have thought TNA would have gotten something trending on Twitter again? But yep, Claire Lynch, of all things, got it on there. Drew, what did you think about this?
Is it weird that I actually thought it was funny? Okay, I was making sure because I remember when I was younger during the day, like during summer, I'd always watch like Maury and like Jerry Springer. So I was just like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing in the history of greatest things. I thought it was funny. Terrible yes lock, by the way, that Brie tried to put on. But just imagine if they were going to get in that ring tonight, just have a good one-on-one, old-fashioned, just kick-ass women's match. Oh, it would have been beautiful, to say the least. But it was okay. You know, I liked the first segment. The second segment, it did what it had to do. It made sense, you know. They're going to keep trying to keep on upping each other. And I've said this the past 3 weeks. I might be looking forward to this now, but once we get to SummerSlam, I will be dreading when this match starts because I know it's going to suck. So I'm going to try to enjoy this as long as I can and then have really low expectations, and hopefully it somehow beats my low expectations.
Tony, how about you? Did you think that they did the proper thing they could on the final stop to SummerSlam, or was this just a horrendous mess?
This fucking sucked. I mean, come on. I hate this kind of shit. And I'm going to totally disagree with Drew when it comes to Mari and all that. I hate those shows too. So anything that happens with these things, I hate. I don't like the whole soap opera thing in WWE. I'd rather have you know, the two of them call each other bitch and then fight or whatever, more than trying to involve fake romance things from outside factors and whatever. I didn't like
when...
Are
you saying they haven't called each other bitch? Because that's happened lots of times.
Actually,
no, I liked that better than what this is what I'm saying. I didn't like when they brought Alicia Fox in as the wedding planner that screwed up the marriage with Edge and whatever. I wanted that to just be Edge fucks up because Edge is an ass and whatever. And they can kind of do like simpler things and they don't have to get into the soap opera kind of writing because it's stupid. And it's just something that if you are a wrestling fan, you accept it and you just kind of roll your eyes. If you're not a wrestling fan, you think it's retarded and you don't ever want to watch wrestling again. I don't think any of that's actually getting anybody to watch the show. That's not going to draw in the women audience or anything. Now, credit where credit's due. Megan Miller, the person who plays that, she is apparently a wrestler who has trained with Lance Storm named Chelsea Green, I think is what it is. Very cute girl. So at least they understand the idea that if you want to get somebody who is supposed to be like, you know, Daniel Bryan cheated or whatever, you can't get somebody ugly. If memory serves correct, I think that Claire Lynch was kind of on the meh side. So that was another instance of TNA not pulling that off. Surprise, surprise. But this is stupid. I don't want them to continue doing this. I would have rather them made the whole segment a complete wash and Brie to just say, huh, all right, I get it. I don't fucking believe it. And now that I'm in the ring with you, Stephanie, I'm going to beat your ass. That would have been a better way to pull this off. Like, Stephanie tries to go that route, and it fails, instead of her actually trying to believe it and Brie getting arrested or whatever. Even worse, Brie getting arrested and then crying about it and saying, I didn't do anything or whatever. It's just so stupid. I can't stand it anymore.
Awesome Piano Man saying, thank you, Mango. Sorry, Drew.
You're welcome, APM.
Drew.
No. Drew's powering down.
But I was going to say, it would have made, I think the segment would have worked better if maybe they...
Let me finish before you judge what I say, okay?
I was going to say, the segment would have been better if maybe Daniel Bryan would have been there, but gosh, I'm powering down now.
Creepers on the Radar saying, I would almost rather see Triple H bury someone at SummerSlam at this point. Almost.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice little shakeup seeing Stephanie there. I don't know what we could have done to make this better. I think maybe they could have even just taken a week off and been fine. Where they left off last week was perfect. Anyone agree?
Sure. They don't really need to do all that much. I mean, it's kind of built in from the very beginning. As soon as they said that this match was going to happen, they kind of could have just been like, yeah, by the way, that match is going to happen, so go buy pay-per-view. You don't need to keep building on it too much.
Mm-hmm. You could have just kept Brie fired until this week, and this week was when she gets her job back and gets the match.
Yeah, that's true. Could have just gone that route. Stephanie still could have cut some promos. Brie maybe could have been trying to do stuff on Twitter, Instagram. I don't fucking know. Tout. They could bring back Tout.
We got an alley-oop in the chat room here. Five times combo saying, I think Drew just ascended to Super Saiyan. And then Awesome Piano Man says, Super Saiyan, nothing important. Awesome Piano Man pulling all the sick burns out tonight. And give you a high five.
Somewhere. Response to that, Drew?
Self-five. For the big dog.
Drew?
What? Oh, hi.
Because I ripped my pants!
I spaced out. What happened?
Nothing at all. We had a matchup between the former tag team known as the Real Americans, Jack Swagger and Cesaro, one-on-one. Pretty good match, but it just seems like something like this should have had more importance put to it rather than just a filler match when Swagger's getting ready to go into his match at SummerSlam. But that's exactly what it was. They had a pretty decent match, actually, that went across two segments. Swagger wins with the Patriot Lock. After the match, Zeb tells Lana to tell Rusev that he is going to remember nothing but the sight of the 50 stars and the 13 bars waving high at SummerSlam at the end of the flag match. As they go to say, we the people, along with the crowd, who is still really into the Swagger gimmick right now, and they all stand when they're going to the We the People, which I just love. I love seeing this much energy being put into that. The Russian flag drops down just as they're saying We the People. Rusev appears on the stage waving the flag like a maniac. Swagger, at least, still remembers how to wave a goddamn flag. He's the only one who waves it at a normal pace as opposed to anybody else we've seen, like Rusev or Big E. They just wave like they're swatting at a bee or some crap. I just don't get it. Why doesn't someone tell these guys you're waving the flag wrong? No. Anyway, that's their final build going into the flag match. Tony, did they hook you? Did they drop the ball? Or was this just kind of meh? What did they hit you with?
Same as before, I still really am into this feud a lot more than some other people might be. And a lot more than WWE would have sold me on when they originally were pitching the idea. It could have gone south, and I really like it. And I really, really, really want fucking Jack Swagger to win this. There's a lot of people that I want to win at SummerSlam, and I'll be disappointed if they don't. I mean, it kind of goes without being said that I am okay with either Miz and Dolph Ziggler winning because I like both of them, and I've always been positive for both of them. I'm a little 50-50 on the John Cena thing or whatever, but one match that I am 100% going for one person on is I need Jack Swagger to fucking win this match, and I think it would be a horrible mistake if he doesn't win it. So they're building it up enough that I'm getting excited and I'm anticipating that win, and that can either be a huge positive or a huge negative, because if he wins, I'll be really happy. And if he doesn't, I'll be super pissed.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat as you, man. They've gotten me to the point where I am so behind Swagger. If they just have him lose 2 months in a row to this Russian scumbag, I am going to be really upset with how they're handling. And as if I'm not upset enough with how they're handling a guy like Cesaro, if you're just going to drop the ball with Jack Swagger, this guy, you just gave him two new t-shirts in a month. When was the last time Jack Swagger got any t-shirts, let alone two in a month? Drew, how you feeling about the state of Swagger?
Oh, well, I will address something first. You're lucky, Awesome Piano Man, that you said sorry, because I can't do anything, but I wish I could. That's one. Two, if you would have told me back after WrestleMania, let me finish before you start doing that shit. All right? Jeez, God, what did I do to you? Fuck, seriously. If you would have told me back at WrestleMania that Cesaro would have been healed still, and Jack Swagger would be going over him, I would have called bullshit. But hey, that's where we're at now. I think it's something that's worth mentioning. But anyways, this might be the one match I'm looking forward to the most at SummerSlam, just because it's the most awesome out of all of them. What? Yes, a flag match. A flag match that doesn't have Del Rio win it. Oh, God, how amazing that sounds. But seriously, yeah, everyone shits on Rusev, but Rusev is a fantastic heel. I think he might look like a potato, but he is an ugly potato, and I think that's what's getting him over.
Are you finished?
Yeah, do it. There you go.
We had this weird backstage sit-down interview with Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho. Michael Cole was there to preside for all of 5 seconds until Bray Wyatt dismissed him out of the room. This is becoming the norm for me, and I think I've said this a number of times every week. I just cannot follow what Bray Wyatt is saying anymore. I don't think even he knows what he's saying. He just starts talking in circles and taking deep breaths between each line, talks something about space and being mean to people or whatever the hell he's talking about. I don't freaking know. Jericho just sat there with his stern look over his face, made some comments about how Chris Jericho has lots of faces. You never know who's going to show up at SummerSlam. Sure, whatever. Another match I'm not caring about at SummerSlam that I should, but because of these just weird ways that they're trying to build it up, I do not. Drew, are you feeling differently, or do you think this segment was the total drizzling shits, or was it super awesome?
It was definitely the drizzling shits. I think that's the best way. I was going to say something stupid to get myself time cowed again, but hey, you just saved my ass, so thank you. So, yep, this was the drizzling shits. I didn't like it, and I'm one step closer to not caring about this match at SummerSlam.
Tony, what about you? You got any differing opinions about it?
No, it's just, I don't care.
You don't like these segments?
We should do a breath counter for how many times he has to just catch his breath in the middle of it. It's a shame because he can pull off a good promo, but I totally agree with you. It's what the fuck are you saying now? Can you kind of back it up with something tangible instead of just, you know, I was in the yard the other day and I was looking at a cricket. The cricket said to me, Bray Wyatt, you got to talk to people in this kind of a voice. And then I it bothers me after a while. It's the same kind of argument with the Paul Heyman thing. Switch it up, do something different, or say something important enough for me to care.
Oh, man, the Bray Wyatt cricket.
Man.
It's going to become a new fucking inside joke, I can tell.
I was talking to a cricket next to Sister Abigail. Old brother cricket.
Ferris 419 in the chat room saying, the drizzling shits, didn't they used to open up for Fozzy?
Because, you know, he only dabbled in music.
the dabbling shits? Well, maybe that was their name. Hey, Tony Wyatt is in the post show.
Yes, I am.
Five times combo Jiminy Cricket in a rocking chair with a fedora. You guys just keep them going. I love the chat room. You guys are fantastic. We had a Divas match this evening between our champion AJ Lee and Eva Marie, of all freaking people. Luckily, this actual match doesn't last very long before Paige comes out, skips around the ring, parodying AJ's skip, causing AJ to get distracted and Eva Marie to get the roll-up pin. Paige cuts a quick promo where she's reading some kind of weird poetry, and this enrages AJ to the point where she goes outside, and what really confuses me is that Eva Marie won this match, yet when Paige goes to the outside, Eva Marie's like laying there like she's hurt and like holding her face like she got bashed in or something. Like, what happened? Did she, like, trip while getting out of the ring and hit her face on something?
Anybody? I didn't notice that.
Well.
No, I didn't.
I did. Whatever. No, anyway, AJ Lee beats down Eva Marie for a hot minute. Eva Marie gets her first victory on Raw. This has been a big couple weeks for Gingers between Heath Slater and Eva Marie. Good time
Wait,
to have right
this is her first win? Wait, this is her first win?
Pretty sure this is her first solo win. Perhaps someone else there can correct me. I think she was on a tag team that won once, but this is her first solo victory on the main roster.
Oh. Yeah. So pick her up, Tony.
I'm fine with AJ.
Tony, what'd you think about our Divas segment for the night?
I think it's funny that Eva Marie won both here and on the Divas tournament, beating AJ in the finals. This is another one of those distraction wins, so that sucks. I'm not quite digging Paige 100% as a heel, and I know that that's sort of jumping the gun a little bit, but they need to do more than having her cut a weird rhyming promo, because if that's the character she's going to go with, it's not going to work. I know that this is just a one-shot thing. They're not going to have her continually go out there and do fucking poetry, but Paige as a heel needs to be as fierce as she claimed that she was when she was a babyface. I hate that fucking scream, and I don't want her to ever do that again. And I downloaded her song the other day and edited that fucking thing out of the beginning of it because it's just obnoxious as hell. But she needs to take that scream idea and apply that to her being a badass. And then I'll buy into her character. So the match should be decent at SummerSlam, and I'm going to put more faith in AJ Lee in that regard rather than Paige. Paige still has a way to go, and she'll probably get there, but I'm not sold on her yet. So Eva Marie didn't help this out at all.
Creepers on the radar saying, I wish Paige did the Lesnar scream. That'd be more entertaining for you, Tony.
I'm pretty sure they're the exact same thing. There's actually videos on YouTube where people have swapped the two, and it's hard to tell.
Drew, you got any differing opinions on this Divas segment?
Nah.
Meh. Okay. Well, then.
Actually, hang on. There's this one point where AJ was on top of Eva Marie, and that was kind of hot.
Dude. She looked like she was riding her cowboy. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
He's got a.
So what were you saying earlier about something sexist that you had said?
Yeah, exactly. We had a matchup between Dolph Ziggler and Heath Slater with The Miz on commentary, who decided to stand on the freaking announce table the whole goddamn time. Of course, it backfired on him, and he ended up pulling the cable out of his headset. Serves him freaking right. Ziggler ends up chasing after The Miz at one point, causing him to get counted out, causing Heath Slater to get two victories in a row between beating Seth Rollins last week, Dolph Ziggler this week. The stock for Heath Slater is certainly on the rise. Drew, what do you got to say about that?
Fuck, I don't know. It's Heath Slater. I don't. If they're going to go through with this, I think he'd be a fine person. I thought that he was face. Is he not face? I thought he was face.
I don't know what the hell Heath Slater is.
Yeah. Well, you know, if he was face, I think they should turn face at this point, because I think everyone was like, it's Heath Slater. He lost a lot of matches, and now he won a match. And, you know, I think they should turn him face. You know, he could be a fine person that maybe pull a quick win on The Miz and maybe get the opportunity for a title shot or, like, in a triple threat match at, like, Night of Champions or something. So, I mean, hey, they could do something with this.
Tony, what about you? Do you dig in the current state of this intercontinental title chase?
I love it. I think that there's a lot of great people in WWE that haven't been getting as much credit as they should. And the Intercontinental Championship itself is actually something that hasn't gotten enough credit as it should. People like The Miz, Dolph Ziggler, to an extent Alberto Del Rio when he was here, but I'm glad that he's gone. Even the guys like Sheamus that some people think that are above the level. It's good to see that they're having these competitive kind of matches together and that someone like Heath Slater is getting a little bit of a bump up. And if you believe the hearsay, he might actually end up having more of a push than it seems possible.
Hearsay Heath Slater, I
exactly,
get it.
You caught it.
I get it.
Kudos to The Miz, though, for standing on the right table, because it sucks that he knocked out his microphone, but if he would have been standing on the Spanish announcer's table, it would have just caved in on him. So that's smart. Really funny of them to just kind of play off that fact and just be like, oh, well, that was great. That, you know, the best thing that you've ever done, JBL, is knocking out The Miz's microphone. That was a nice little thing that they did on the spur of the moment. Didn't like the end of the match. Kind of funny, though, that Heath Slater wins. And it was okay that they did that little thing at the end with Ziggler trying to shake his hand and Slater going for the kick, but then getting the zigzag.
Horrible sportsmanship shown by Dolph Ziggler.
He should have just allowed him to kick it, right?
Yeah, right? Fucking sore winner. Oh, he lost.
So I'm excited about this match at SummerSlam. I think it's going to be one of the best matches of the night, if not the best match. And whatever happens, happens, and I'll enjoy it because I like both these guys.
Ferris419 saying, good riddance to Alberto Del Taco. Sure, none of us are missing him either.
I am kind of missing tacos. I want to eat one of them.
Tacos do sound pretty good right now. Maybe Miguel can make us some or something.
we got informed that this Friday on SmackDown that Roman Reigns will be the special guest on Miz TV, which causes me to ponder, who books these guests? Like, is The Miz in charge of deciding who goes on Miz TV, or does someone else tell him that?
You know, I didn't even know they had Miz TV again until you said that. So that's a fun fact.
The same dude that wraps the packages backstage.
That guy wears a lot of hats.
Yeah.
Our final match of the night was between Randy Orton and Sheamus. Match we've seen about 100 times. Who the fuck cares? Randy Orton wins with the RKO. Fuck, you guys got anything to say about this?
No.
No, there was a yellow spot. There was a bruise on Sheamus's arm that kept on pissing me off, so something about that.
That always happens to Sheamus. Whenever he gets any kind of bruise or anything, it's really obvious.
he bruises like a fucking tomato. I think that's the easiest way to put it.
And then we could put him in a match with Rusev, and it'll be a tomato and a potato. Or perhaps a tomato and a potato.
No, shut up.
Well, our final segment of the night was Hulk Hogan's birthday celebration. Hulk Hogan gets invited down to the ring from Mean Gene and Jimmy the Mouth of the South Hart. We had the entire roster pretty much out on the stage to celebrate along with them. Hulk Hogan comes down. They have a video package, which I guess is what Drew White is equating to basically like him having died or something.
Yeah,
they start inviting.
It felt, weird. It just felt weird. Like the whole vibe. It was like that. I swear to God, it was like the same music that they played for the Ultimate Warriors tribute package they showed after he died. I was like, whoa, too soon. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe they're just preemptively getting it out of the way.
Yeah, you know, it felt like something that they play at the Hall of Fame, or like if he was like retiring, or like this is the last time he was shown on TV. That's what it felt like. So I didn't really understand.
I'm not gonna lie, it felt a lot like that Ric Flair video they played when he retired. That "You'll Never Change." Fucking hated that song.
Yeah.
We eventually invite a bunch of old friends of Hulk Hogan's to the ring. We get Ric Flair. We get freaking Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, who has some of the worst theme music I've ever freaking heard. And of course, we were forced to listen to it for like a whole goddamn 2 minutes while he just like danced around on the ramp trying to get people to cheer for him, even though nobody gave a freaking shit about him.
That was sad.
No, I think he was like, oh, no one gives a shit. Well, fuck you guys. You now deal with my shitty ass music. I'm going to, ooh, hello, Eva. I'm going to go bother you for a little bit.
Who else was there?
That was pretty bad.
We had the band. Freaking Kevin Nash and Scott Hall came out. They looked terrible. They looked like they were 100 years old.
They looked worse than Hogan.
They did. And Hot Rod, Roddy Piper. It was good to see him as well, I suppose. None of them really got a chance to talk except for Nash and Hall, and even they only got to say like 20 seconds of whatever each. Really, this segment went long, and at the same time, it was really rushed. I feel like if you wanted to do something like this, you should have just dedicated a whole half hour to it. Make it just like the whole Rock, This Is Your Life thing, and then have Brock Lesnar come out and actually beat the shit out of all of them. That would have been perfect.
I was really hoping that was the case. Just have him beat the shit out of everyone, and wow, seeing as like in the back, no, didn't make it in time. All the superstars were just chilling there on the stage, but no, where's Lesnar and Cena at? Or am I getting too deep into this?
Tony, what did you think about Hulk Hogan's birthday?
Why were they celebrating Hulk Hogan's birthday in the first place? Isn't he like 58 or something?
He's 63.
63?
Yeah. 61? I thought he said 63.
No, 63 is the age Robin Williams was that he died today.
Oh, fuck. That's awkward shit. Oh, damn.
So it wasn't even his 60th birthday?
No.
So it wasn't, I mean, not to say that birthdays aren't necessarily special, but it wasn't a special birthday.
No. Nope.
And, you know, to make this like the final thing of the night and whatever, that's kind of stupid. It would have been so much better if Brock Lesnar would have beat the fucking piss out of everybody. And I'm talking everybody. I'm talking Mean Gene gets a fucking F5. Jimmy Hart, you know, gets bashed over the head with the megaphone. Why not, right? You want to make him seem like a bad guy. You know, just have him destroy the fuck out of everybody, and then John Cena can be all upset with himself that he didn't come out sooner because of the fact that he wasn't already out there clapping with everybody else.
Yeah, where was John Cena? John Cena like hanging out with catering, I guess.
He was looking for Eva Marie, and then Paul Orndorff had to just go, "Hey, by the way, Cena's looking for you. Go backstage when you get a chance. I'm gonna go walk out to the ring about 6 more times."
To be fair, we're talking about how it's the 61st. They should have done it with the 60th. Maybe he wasn't able to be there for the 60th because he was kind of stuck being someplace else. Know what I'm saying?
Nah, that place doesn't exist. What are you talking about? We don't acknowledge that.
Yeah, that was like 57 episodes ago, dude.
Drew, you got anything you want to say about the birthday celebration that isn't offensive to old people?
Oh, I don't know. Probably not. They all looked old. Scott Hall looked like shit. Kevin Nash looked really bad, especially since he didn't have his hair dyed black. And Brock should have kicked everyone's ass and broke their arm because, you know, that's what Brock Lesnar does.
That's all, Drew?
I don't know. Was I supposed to say something and I just didn't pick up on it?
Yep.
Oh. I don't understand. Oh.
Kennedy.
Okay.
All right. With that, folks, we're going to wrap up all the fresh talk, and we're going to head into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what our favorite part of the show was, what our least favorite part of tonight's Raw was, and what we thought was the most embarrassing and horrible part of the show was. We invite you in the chat room to tell us what your good, bad, and ugly is, and we'll read it on here as well. But first, we are going to ask what our panelists' thoughts about it was. Tony, what was your good, bad, and ugly?
My good, there's actually two things I want to throw out there. One of them I already talked about, and it's actually my choice for the good, and that's John Cena's promo. When you put in the effort, I've said this a million times, you put in the effort, it fucking works. And that ended up getting people to cheer for him at the end of it. But a quick little good mention. After the Bray Wyatt promo, a great line from JBL. He just says to Michael Cole, "What a great interview, Michael." That made me laugh out loud. So kudos to JBL, because the bad could be kind of just take your pick, grab bag from whatever the random bad stuff was. But what the hell, I'll give it to the Bray Wyatt promo, because that dragged on for a while. And from the very beginning of this feud, I've been down on it. And for somebody like Bray Wyatt, who can talk on the mic, and somebody who is so good on the mic like Jericho, they have let me down on this feud so, so much. And this was just yet another example of that. This promo did not help me get excited about this match whatsoever. I'm certainly not more excited about it from having the two other Wyatt family members outside banned from the ring. And I'm certainly not excited to see a rematch of a match that I didn't think that was really that good at the last pay-per-view. So they've done nothing for this, and it just fucking hurt it more. And my ugly is going to be the Meghan Miller segment. And that is not Meghan Miller herself, because she is very cute, but the segment idea itself and everything wrapped around it.
All right, Drew, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good would be Seth Rollins versus RVD. My bad would be the segment with women, and my ugly will be definitely be one of Peyton's bad or ugly is the fact that Bo Dallas only made it on TV once, and that was with everyone else on stage. He didn't defend his new streak,
and he did look pretty ugly.
He did look like Bo Dallas. I will give you that much.
Oh, and this one is on behalf of the chat room.
Okay.
All right, take a couple out of the chat room here. Five times combos, good, bad, and ugly is good. Didn't have to watch this show. Bad, no fucking idea what happened with Brie and Stephanie. And ugly, probably Hogan's skin. Awesome Piano Man, good, everyone here in the chat room. Bad, the hype for SummerSlam. Ugly, just Raw. That's all he said, just Raw.
What about all those celebrities that tried to give their happy birthday wishes to Hogan and did terribly at it?
Oh, yeah, so forced. I mean, they had, like, what's his name? The radio guy?
Larry King?
Larry King. They had Weird Al. They had, like, all the football people that I have no idea who the hell they are.
Weird Al wasn't that bad, but in particular the football people and the different, what I don't even know what other sports they are, whatever, but, and the general consensus was, hey, Hulkster, happy birthday. I don't know what to say. Are we still rolling? Well, fuck. Then I guess happy birthday. You're cool. I used to watch you when I was a kid, but I don't watch wrestling anymore. So you said brother a lot, right? Okay, brother. Happy birthday.
Ferris 419 saying good. Cena's promo bad. The lack the lack of pay-per-view hype overall, and ugly. The Meghan Miller Jerry Springer crap. That's very Jerry Springerish. All right, now I'll give my good, bad, and ugly. My good is going to be the rapping Paul Heyman from the first segment. Who's touching the boards? You're not allowed there. The bad will be Randy Orton versus Sheamus. Drew, I'm going to fire you if you do that again.
Okay.
Fire you. You don't want to be fired. Okay. You don't want to be fired on the air, do you?
Vince McMahon style.
And my ugly is Mr. Wonderful's theme. Oh my goodness. That was horrendous. And it just went on and on. It was like, Mr. Wonderful. He's so wonderful. Yeah, pretty much. That was absolutely horrendous. All right, folks, we're gonna be closing things up here on the Raw post show. Although I think since we got so much time, I'm gonna do something a little bit different for all of you folks sitting here live. I think we're gonna keep rolling live after we roll things on. So please don't leave just yet. Stick around. The show's gonna go on a little bit longer. But for the sake of the archive version, we're gonna do our plugs and play the outro music and all that happy jazz. So let me give each of the hosts a chance to talk about whatever's going on in their lives. Drew, what's good for you?
Well, this is probably going to be my last post show for a while because I got to go off to college, unfortunately. Yeah, I think I deserve the Homer boo, but I can't find it. There we go.
Goldberg.
Jesus
because
Christ,
I'm with my pets!
Fucking bullshit!
Okay. After we... okay, well, so I will probably call in for a little while. I don't know what my arrangements will be at college, but if I could find a way to still do the show, I will. There's no definite that I might not be here, but there's a good chance I might not be here for a little while. So for that case, I would like to thank Mr. Mango, all the fans out there, all my loving supporters who want me in mood every week because fuck Drew White and the Drew crew. And, you know, to Mr. Wago out there, all I want to say is it's called a gavel and not a mallet.
Yeah, gavel. Woo! Tony, woo, what you got to tell the world about?
Oh, all of my problems. Sorry, sit down and listen to them all because you're all my psychiatrists for now. No, okay. I'm just kidding. SmartCalMoment.com, obviously, I plug this every week. That's where you can find all the wrestling kind of stuff. And if you are interested in another one of these podcasts that we do, Smack Talk is something that you can find on YouTube.com/SmartCalMoment, as well as on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find me on Bleacher Report. I might be writing a little bit more for What Culture in the future. I am definitely going to be writing more for another website as well as doing something else for that, and I will announce that when it comes down. And for everything else, like fanboysanonymous.com and all other things under A Mango Tree, just go to the Facebook and Twitter accounts for all this kind of stuff, and you will see links to a whole bunch of other bullshit that I do.
A whole bunch of other bullshit.
That was Justin Roberts. This is a whole bunch of bullshit.
All right, folks, if you enjoyed listening to us tonight, we hope you join us every single Monday night following Monday Night Raw here on MegaPowersRadio.com. That's immediately after Raw goes off the air. We go live, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We got the chat room rolling, the phone lines open for you to join the conversation at any point. However, if you cannot join us on Monday, it's okay because we got archived versions very easy to find. Just go to smartoutmoment.com to get all of them easily available, where you can also go to iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, where you can subscribe and have everything automatically downloaded onto your iPod, iPhone, Android device, or even your computer, whatever the heck you like listening to. It's very easy to get the Raw post show in your ears. And for everything else that you should be checking out on MegaPowersRadio.com, we have the Daceman Show on Wednesday nights. We're having a very special guest this week, the creators of the video game Default Dan. And also, we just switched up our Four Reel Movie Club we were going to be doing this month. We were going to be doing National Lampoon's movies, but because of the events that just happened today, we decided we're going to be doing Robin Williams movies. So if you're a big fan of that guy, truly sad news that happened today. One of the most legendary comedians of all time. We're going to be doing a tribute to him August 31st right here on MegaPowersRadio.com, so make sure you pay attention to that. Until next time, folks, though, thank you for listening. For Tony Mango, for Drew White, and for all of you awesome people in the chat room, and for everyone who couldn't be here tonight on the panel, we'll see y'all next time on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio.